بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. In the beginning, I should like to welcome our dear guest from Italy, Professor Joseph Ilol, professor at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. And in this colloquium on the European side, on the Vatican side, we have Professor Joseph Ilol, and on the Iranian side, there is Dr. Sayyid Mustafa Daryabari, our dear colleague, friend, and advisor, and teacher. So I should like to congratulate both parties, on the Iranian and the Italian side, for the cooperation here. Okay, I leave the forum for Dr. Daryabari for starting his lecture. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent and the Merciful. First, I welcome to my dear professor, Joseph Ilol, and his colleagues and the student from the University of the Thomas Aquinas in Rome. Let me just first welcome to doctor, and after that, just give him the microphone to start the actually his lecture, inshallah. Okay.
Fine. Thank you.
Professor Joseph Ilol, could you please start your lecture?
Very well. Thank you. I just want to ask, how much time do I have for this first part?
Around 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Fine.
Yes.
That would be fine.
Half an hour.
Good. Okay. Since my presentation would be about ethics of interaction with followers of other religions, from, of course, a Catholic Christian perspective, I would wish to divide my talk into parts. The first part is dialogue, the type of dialogue that we find in the Bible. How God dialogues with humanity, and then how our dialogue should reflect the dialogue of God with humanity in the interreligious dialogue sense, of course. Well, the point of departure of dialogue that we find in the Bible is, in fact, the creation of the cosmos, of the universe. In the accounts that we find in the Bible, God is presented as if he is building a house for the man and the woman, representatives of humanity, an environment that is familiar to both, where he can begin a dialogue with them. Man and woman become the crowning glory of God and a living reminder of his all-pervading presence. The second scene of dialogue between God and humanity that I would like to point out from the Bible is the scene from after the flood, when Noah emerges from the ark. It is said in the Bible that following the subsiding of the waters, God made a pact not only with Noah, not only with all of humanity, but with the whole of creation. And the seal of this dialogue, of this covenant, so to speak, between God and humanity, was the rainbow. God placed the rainbow as a bridge between heaven and earth. And here I would like to point out something. In my country, in Malta, in my language, in Maltese, the word for rainbow is Awsalla, the bow of God. Then, of course, we have a third instance where God commands us to love him and love our neighbor. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your being, and you should teach this love and this belief in one God to your children, to your family. And Jesus in the gospel places love of God and love of neighbor as if they were two faces, so to speak, of the same coin. In fact, when he was asked, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus answered, you should love your God, the Lord is one, your God, the Lord is one. You should love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your being. And then there's another that is like it, that is similar to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So love of neighbor is the result of love of God. Now, this also leads us to another point which we find in the teachings of Jesus. In any encounter as Christians and as Catholic Christians, in any encounter with another person, irrespective of what this person believes, race, color, any other difference, we must see Jesus in the other. There is that beautiful scene that Jesus presents to us of the Last Judgment when he is judging us by our actions. And he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me.
Could you please pause, because I want to put what you've already said, the gist of your remarks, into passion for the Iranian side.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know that.
No problem.
Sorry.
No problem.
Please continue.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ایشون میفرمایید که سه نوع دیالوگ ما در کتاب مقدس میبینیم وجود داره. نوع اول دیالوگ خداوند با مردم هست، اون در ابتدای خلقته که خداوند با مردم صحبت کرد، گویی که خداوند داشته خانه‌ای و منزلی رو بر مردم بنا میکرده و مرد و زن طرف صحبت با خداوند بودن. دومین موردی که ما در دیالوگی در از جانب خداوند میبینیم موقعی است که بعد طوفان نوح که حضرت نوح از کشتی خارج میشه، خدا در اینجا با کل خلقت داره صحبت میکنه. تأیید این گفتگو این است که خداوند وقتی میخواسته اون دعوه تشعشعات خودش رو به صورت زیبا بفرسته، رنگین کمان رو خلق کرده و مردم گفته که به اون زیبایی توجه بکنه. مورد سومی که وجود داره این است که خداوند از ما میخواد که چگونه هم خودمون و هم مردم رو دوست داشته باشیم و چگونه همه رو دوست بداریم. از این باب وقتی نگاه میکنیم میبینیم که حضرت عیسی مسیح به مردم یاد داده که هم خدا و هم مردم رو دوست بداریم. به آنگونه که حضرت عیسی مسیح به ما گفته، خداوند به ما میگه که دوستی و علاقه رو نه تنها با فامیلای خودمون، با اهل خانه، حتی با دیگران، با همسایه‌ها، با دوروری‌ها داشته باشیم. و در تعالیم عیسی مسیح آنگونه که در کتاب مقدس آمده، در همه برخوردها ما با طرف دیگر رو عیسی مسیح ببینیم و گویی انگار ما داریم با حضرت عیسی مسیح برخورد میکنیم و انگار او میخواد در مورد ما قضاوت بکنه. Okay, continue, please.
Okay, I apologize once again, I will try. I will try to give more space. To be less to divide my speech in.
Excuse me. Could you please speak a bit slower so that I would take notes? Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Very well. So let me go back to what I said about the Last Judgment. Jesus is saying that at the Last Judgment, he will say, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. And then he says, whatever you have done to any of these little ones, those whom you have fed, those who you have given to drink, those whom you clothed, whatever you have done to these, you have done to me. So, for us, the neighbor, the other, is seen as another Jesus, another Christ. Then, of course, we see that Jesus himself did encounter people hailing from other religions. Now, here, of course, we must be very careful, because we cannot speak of interreligious dialogue in those times, in the times of Jesus, in the same way in which we speak of interreligious dialogue today. And in fact, I would like to point out three instances where Jesus encountered people belonging to other religions. I think it's fair that you can translate.
ایشون فرمود که بر اساس تعالیم حضرت عیسی، ایشون فرمود هرگاه که اگر کسی گرسنه بود بهش غذا دادید، اگر تشنه بود بهش آب دادید، اینها و به طور کلی وقتی حوایج مردم رو برآورده کردید، شما این کارها رو دارید برای من انجام میدین، در واقع دارید این خدمات رو به من انجام میدین. بنابراین می‌بینیم که حضرت عیسی مسیح در تعامل با مردم برآمده و این خود یه مقدمه است، یه شروعی است برای تعامل و گفتگوی میان فرهنگی میان دیگر پیروان ادیان و اهالی دیگر فرهنگ ها. Thank you. Continue, please.
Thank you. Okay. Now, as I said, these encounters cannot be seen as interreligious dialogue in the way we know it today, because there was neither the possibility nor the means to achieve this. But what we should draw our attention to is the attitude of Jesus towards this. Let us take the first case. Jesus and a Roman officer, a Roman soldier. He is, of course, a pagan. But this officer asked Jesus to heal his servant. Jesus is preparing to follow him to his house. But it is there that the officer shows his faith and his humility towards Jesus. I do not deserve that you should come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. So here we have, on the one hand, an attitude of love and compassion from Jesus, and an attitude of faith and trust from the Roman soldier.
Okay. ایشون فرمودن که در مورد این تعامل ها ما باید طالب بپرسیم که چگونه میتونیم این تعامل ها رو امروزه پیاده بکنیم. فرمودن که ما نیاز داریم که همون روحیات که عیسی مسیح در کتاب مقدس نشون دادن اونها رو انجام میدن. رفتار حضرت عیسی مسیح با اون افسری که به دنبال حضرت عیسی مسیح میره و میگه من مشکل دارم و مریض دارم و میخوام شما مریض منو خوب بکنید، خودش نشون میده که حضرت عیسی مسیح دنبال این بود که در واقع این روابط رو ایجاد بکنه و این گونه تعامل داشته باشه. خود حضرت عیسی مسیح دنبال اون طرف راه میفته و میره و مشکلش رو حل میکنه و فقط میگه که هر جا مشکلی داشتی اسم منو بگو و مشکلت حل میشه و بیمارت خوب میشه. فهمید این نگرش اعتماد و اعتقاد هست که در رفتار افراد تجلی پیدا میکنه و ما این رو میتوانیم در یه سطح بزرگتری در روابط میان فرهنگی نشان بدیم. Okay, thank you. Continue.
The second encounter is an encounter with a woman from Syria, Phoenicia, more or less between Lebanon and Syria. She was from there, from those regions. Now here, Jesus puts her to the test. We have a woman who is a foreigner and presumably a pagan, but she is considered as on the periphery, an outcast from society. But she seeks Jesus in order that he may free her daughter from the possession of an evil spirit. And the way Jesus first talks to her, he speaks to her, he replies in a severe manner. But he does this in order to bring out her pure faith. And so in the end, he not only frees her daughter from the evil spirit, but from an outcast, a social outcast, she now becomes a model of faith and trust in Jesus.
بله، ایشون میفرمایند که رفتار حضرت عیسی مسیح سلام الله علیه با زنان در منطقه‌ای که امروزه در لبنان و سوریه امروزی قرار میگیرن خیلی جالبه. حضرت عیسی مسیح با یه خانم خارجی، یه خانمی که ظاهرا به دین از عیسی مسیح هم نبود، یعنی کافر حساب میشد به اون حساب و از جامعه طرد شده بود، حضرت عیسی مسیح وقتی اون میاد پیش عیسی مسیح و از حضرت عیسی کمک میخواد، حضرت به اون کمک میکنه و اون را گناه و بدی و شر بیرون میاره. بنابراین ما امروزه وقتی که به افراد دیگه نگاه میکنیم باید رفتار ما همین گونه باشه که اونها را از اون گرفتاری ها بیرون بیاریم و همین رفتار عیسی مسیح رو با دیگران بایستی سرمشق خودمون قرار بدیم. Continue please. Go on.
The third example is that of the encounter of Jesus with a Samaritan woman from Samaria in the north of the country. Now here Jesus is in hostile territory. Samaritans and Jews looked upon each other as enemies, and Jews considered Samaritans as excluded from the Jewish faith and tainted by paganism. But Jesus asks her for water, for some water. Now, from a simple request for some water, what follows is a dialogue where Jesus reaches out to her heart and teaches her to look beyond ancient quarrels and outward manifestation of worship in order to reveal to her who he is, the Messiah. Now, in all these three examples that I have given, the encounter with the Roman, the encounter with the woman from Syria, the encounter with the woman from Samaria. In all these instances, we see in Jesus, in the gospel, those attitudes that are essential to dialogue. Expression of faith, trust, compassion, empathy, and listening. Now, these are the ingredients that should lay the foundations for interreligious dialogue today.
ایشون میفرمان که در این نمونه مثال هایی که گفته شد که حضرت عیسی مسیح با اون شخص رومیایی چه برخوردی کردن، با اون خانمی چه برخوردی کردن و اینها، شما فهمید که نمونه آخر این بود که سومین نمونه این بود که یه شخص سامریتن که لرد یه منطقه بود و در واقع با حضرت عیسی مسیح برخورد میکنه، منطقه مال یهودیاست، یهودیایی که طرد شده بودن، اما حضرت عیسی مسیح نه تنها به او توجه میکنه بلکه میره پیشش و بهش از او آب میخواد و در این کاری که در این رفتاری که حضرت عیسی مسیح داره در اون برخورد، حضرت عیسی مسیح به قلب او شخص نفوذ میکنه و او رو نجات میده و به او میگه که چه هویتی داره و کیه. شما میفهمه که وقتی ما این نمونه ها رو نگاه میکنیم در اینها در واقع نگرش های جالبی پیدا میکنه و از نحوه تعاملی که حضرت عیسی مسیح و افراد دیگه داشتن. اول بیان اعتقاد، بعد ایجاد اعتماد، ایجاد همدلی و بعد به وجود آوردن همراهی و در نهایت هم بایستی ما حرف مخالف را آماده باشیم که بشنویم، گوش به حرفش بدیم و وقتی اون حرف میزنه به حرفش توجه بکنیم. Continue please.
Thank you. So this is the part where I have given, you know, the biblical teaching as the foundation for interreligious dialogue. Now, let's go to the issue per se. First of all, as you notice, the title of this conference, the general title is Ethics of Interaction with Followers of Other Religions. Now, rather than interaction, I would prefer to use the term dynamic engagement. Now, the reason for this is that meeting followers from other religions is a continuous process, a process of respect, of understanding, of trust, and mutual growth. And this cannot take place if we are not prepared to admit our respective weaknesses. There are times, of course, when our steps might falter, but these instances can offer us a golden opportunity to realize that such dialogue must have our belief in God and trust in His guidance as our point of departure.
بله، می‌فرمایید که ایشون که ما این چیزایی که اینجا گفتیم بنیادهای انجیلی و در باب اعتماد و گفتگو و اساس کتاب مقدس رو گفتیم. فهمید که آن چیزی که در اینجا مطرح میشه امروز بحث اخلاق تعامل با پیروان دیگر ادیان هست. شما فهمید در تعامل فعال ما در ملاقات هایی که با پیروان دیگر ادیان داریم در مراحل مختلف بایستی نشان بدیم که اونها احترام میذاریم، اعتماد داریم، رفتار متناسب و در خور برخورد با اونها رو داشته باشیم و هدف نهایی از اینهایی میشود که ما به گفتگوهایی باید برسیم که ایمان و اعتقاد ما به خداوند و مبدع و معاد رو قوی تر بکنه. Continue, please.
Okay. Now, as regards the role of interreligious dialogue, religion itself is built upon a continuous dialogue between the divine and the human, between the eternal and the temporal. That is why I wanted to place the teachings of the Bible as an introduction to my presentation. And it goes without saying that dialogue between cultures and civilizations necessarily presupposes and entails dialogue that is interreligious. And it is becoming increasingly important and vital for fruitful coexistence, leading to mutual growth between different religions and ethnic communities, that this be based upon mutual respect, but also on sincerity and frankness.
جون فرمان که در نقش گفتگوی ادیان دین خودش همواره یه گفتگوی دائمی هست، گفتگویی که میان خداوند و مخلوقاتش هست، گفتگویی که خداوند و مردمی که خلق کرده داره و این خودش در ذات و نهاد گفتگوی ادیان هست. اما گفتگو در میان فرهنگ‌ها و تمدن‌ها را اگه بخوایم داشته باشیم، مقدمش و پیش نیازش داشتن گفتگوی بین ادیان هست که هدفش با همزیستی مسالمت‌آمیز میان ادیان و نژادها باشه و احترام متقابل رو تداعی بکنه، علاقمندی و ارادت ورزی و روراست بودن و اینها رو بایستی در این گفتگوی ادیان و تمدن‌ها با محوریت گفتگوی میان ادیان داشته باشیم.
Now,
continue, please.
Okay. Interreligious dialogue, what does it mean? To me, at least, from a Catholic perspective, it means getting to grips with what is essential to our respective faiths. Its role is not that of suppressing differences, but at looking at them as a means for creating mutual understanding, respect, and enrichment. It implies maintaining one's religious identity while respecting that of the other. It implies, it demands listening as well as speaking. It is an ongoing challenge to deepen one's own faith while appreciating that of the other. It also demands recognition of each one's past failings and the present failings as well, and the honesty to admit them. Now, this, of course, means that interreligious dialogue can actually be called growing up together. As we listen, as we encounter each other, we grow together.
بله، ایشون فرمود که در زمینه گفتگوی ادیان، مفهوم گفتگوی ادیان این است که در واقع ما به بنیادهای اعتقادی خودمون محکم اعتقاد داریم و اینکه اونها رو به اعتقاد داریم در مشترکات بین ادیان، روی مشترکات بین ادیان داریم در واقع کار میکنیم و نه موارد اختلافی که ممکنه وجود داشته باشه و ببینیم که چه چیزی در واقع فهم متقابل از همدیگر رو تداعی میکنه. داشتن هویت دینی و احترام به ادیان دیگران این ضرورت رو به وجود میاره که ما حرفای دیگران رو گوش بدیم، این اینکه در واقع حرفای خودمون رو میزنیم و مواضع خودمون رو بر دیگران تبیین میکنیم. هم حرفای خودمون رو باید بزنیم، هم باید بگذاریم که دیگران حرفای خودشون بزنن و حرفای اونها رو گوش بکنیم. رو راست بودن و در صحبت کردن در مورد حقایق دینی که اونها میگن، این هم از زمینه‌هایی است که در گفتگوی بین ادیان ما به اونها رسیدیم و باید این کار انجام بدیم و این یک روند در واقع دارای همافزایی دائمیه که همه با هم رشد میکنند. اینجا به این شکل همه به همدیگه احترام میگذارن و حرف همدیگه رو خوب متوجه میشن و رو مواضعی که با همدیگه مشترک هستن با همدیگه گفتگو میکنن. Continue, please.
Now, I wish to emphasize again, I have used the term growing up together because for me, as a Christian, dialogue is not only a means towards coexistence, peaceful coexistence, but it has to do with relations, with relating to the other. Now, here I would like to refer to what Pope Francis says in one of his speeches to the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. He said that it is necessary that everything proceed with respect to the belief of to the beliefs of others, even those who do not believe. But we must have the courage and the patience to encounter each other for who we are. And here, I think, lies the role of religious leaders, religious leadership in the path of dialogue. The religious leader must embark upon this task with a deep sense of humility and service, first and foremost to God, and then towards those whom God has entrusted in his care. It also demands a deep sense of responsibility. People look on the religious leaders for guidance and example. And religious leaders have a significant opportunity to become ambassadors of reconciliation, bringing together people.
بله، ایشون فرمود که من دوباره میخوام تاکید بکنم روی مفهوم رشد کردن با همدیگه، همزیستی با همدیگه و رشد کردن. میگه برای من گفتگوی ادیان فقط وسیله همزیستی نیست، بلکه مهمتر از همه ایجاد رابطه و رابطه داشتن با یکدیگر هست. میگه من میخوام به صحبت‌های پاپ فرانسیس اشاره بکنم که به گفتگوی ادیان و احترام به ادیان مختلف اهمیت ویژه‌ای میده و همواره تاکید میکنه که ما با شهامت این داشته باشیم که با ادیان دیگه ارتباط داشته باشیم. شما فهمید در این رابطه نقش رهبریت دینی در این گفتگوها چیه؟ شما فهمید که رهبران دینی با حس احترام عمیق که نسبت به همدیگه دارند و با اعتقاد عمیقی که به خداوند و نقشی که خداوند به این رهبران دینی داده می توانند در این زمینه پیشقدم باشن و این کار رو انجام بدن. این نقش خداوند به اونها داده و اینها این موقعیت ایجاد همزیستی را در بین پیروان سایر ادیان می توانند انجام بدن. Continue please.
Now one has to admit that this demands a lot from religious leaders. People need to see in them those virtues of sincerity and prudence and patient method of teaching. And this should be seen especially when people see their religious leaders cultivating friendship among themselves. Friendship among leaders of various religious denominations. This is what one would call the dialogue of love, the dialogue of charity, which can lead then religious leaders towards the dialogue of truth.
باید قبول کرد که وظایف مختلفی برگردن رهبران دینی قرار داره. فضایل مختلفی که این رهبران دینی دارن، صبر، حوصله، ایمان، اعتقاد، ایجاد دوستی باید بین خودشون صورت بگیره و وقتی که رهبران همه ادیان با همدیگه بتوانند واقعا صادقانه و خالصانه با همدیگه برخورد داشته باشن، این میتواند به پیروان و ادیان هم در واقع کشیده بشه. و در اینجا باید بگیم که گفتگوی بین ادیان یک نوع در واقع زبان همزیستی، زبان مفاهمه و زبان علاقه و محبت متقابل است. Continue.
Now, if it is to be worthy of its name, interreligious dialogue must be first and foremost dialogue with God. And then dialogue about God in order to arrive at dialogue as witness to God. So interreligious dialogue becomes a way of understanding human hopes and human weaknesses. It should direct us, whatever religion we embrace, into channels more constructive. And even we should take heart from the words of the Quran. There is a verse from the Quran that has always inspired me. It's from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 48. Which says that had God willed, he would have made you a single community. But in order to test you in what he revealed to you, so compete with one another in virtue, in doing good deeds. To God is your homecoming, all of you, and he will then acquaint you with that over which you have differed.
ایشون فرمان که در این نقشه، در این گفتگوی ادیان سه مرحله وجود داره: یک گفتگوی با خداوند، گفتگوی در رابطه با خداوند، و در واقع گفتگو با شاهدانی که اون شاهدان را خداوند برای ما گذاشتن. فهم در زمینه امید، در زمینه اول گفتگوی با خداوند، ما باید امید به خداوند داشته باشیم و بدانیم که خداوند همه مشکلات رو کاستی ها رو برطرف میکنه، ساختارهای مستحکم تری رو میتوان ایجاد کرد بفهمم آیه‌ای که بر من خیلی الهام بخش است آیه 48 سوره مائده است که می‌فرماید اگر می‌خواستیم همه شما رو امت واحد قرار می‌دادیم، اما خودمون خواستیم شما امت‌های مختلف باشید، مردمان مختلف باشید و در فضائل با همدیگر رقابت بکنید، شما به خداوند برمیگردید هرچند که از امت‌های مختلف هستید. Continue.
Now I will come to my final part because I think I have already overstepped my remit. But in any case, when one is referring to encounters, interreligious encounters, where we are presenting our respective faiths, the teachings of our respective faiths, the principal and ultimate aim is that of, and I am very careful in posing these terms, is that of achieving clarity of presentation through clarity in communication. It must be occupied with removing misunderstandings about what all those involved might hold to be true and about what they assume to be the fundamental beliefs of the other. So undoubtedly, a level of agreement, albeit limited, can be achieved. But one must also accept that much disagreement will occur, and these cannot be ignored. They have to be accepted as an integral part of our human nature. Of course, consistency is another key factor in interreligious dialogue. It does not mean stubbornness. It means a rejection of any sort of compromise concerning one's fundamental beliefs. On the Christian, for a Christian, it is a matter of sincerity and truthfulness to witness to Jesus, and of course to learn from the other, respect for the other's beliefs while keeping one's own. So subjects such as love, holiness, mercy, human solidarity, care for creation, especially with reference to what one encounters in the various scriptures, could be a very enriching experience as one begins to discover the multifaceted aspects of interreligious dialogue. Thank you.
ببخشید. ایشون میفرمایند که ما در این بحث گفتگوی ادیان میخوایم ببینیم آیا توانسته این باید بپرسیم خودمون که توانسته این مواضع رو به راحتی تبیین بکنیم، مشکلات رو به راحتی مشخص بکنیم و بتوانیم بر اون مشکلات غلبه پیدا بکنیم. آیا ما میتوانیم به سطحی از توافق برسیم؟ در این زمینه در واقع رسی یک دست بودن و ثابت قدم بودن از اصول اولیه گفتگوی بین ادیانه، نه اینکه بخوایم همدیگر رو حذف بکنیم یا بخوایم سوالات رو ندیده بگیریم، بلکه بایستی با همراهی کردن همدیگه و همفکری همدیگه بیاییم به این مشکلات بپردازیم و به طور یک دست به این مشکلات توجه بکنیم. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Excuse me, one of the ladies has got a question, okay? خانمی چیز بفرمید، سوالتون مطرح بفرمید. خانمی که سوال دارن اگه سوالشون آیه نوشتن فقط بله خانم فاطمه ملکی ولی اجازه گرفته که خب اگه سوال دارن بفرمایید سوالشون رو. چون خوشحالم. Now we are going to listen to Dr. Mustafa Daryabari. Thank you.
گزارشید برای فارسی زبان ها برای انگلیسی.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و بهی نستعین. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. First of all, I want to thank my dear brother, Professor Joseph Elul, for his wonderful and very meaningful lecture about the dialogue. He mentioned three kinds of dialogue, and also the actually essential of the dialogue. And after that, he mentioned some of the data that we have through the dialogue and the interaction that comes through the dialogue. Because of this, I don't want to talk more about the dialogue. And after that, I want to go to the interaction more than to talk about dialogue. I have a book about the role of the interface dialogue in for the followers of other religions. But here I focus on one specific issue, and it is the ethic of the interaction with the followers of the other religion in Islam. Okay, if we want to talk about the obstacle, we can talk a lot. If we want to talk about the ethics of the dialogue, that will take a long time. Here, just I want to focus on one specific issue, and that's the ethic, the morality that we need to observe here. First of all, I want to mention to one of the principles that we have for these ethics, because if we want to have any kind of the morality issue and the role that we want to mention it here, so we need to go back to the principle that we have. So if we check the different teachings of the Islam, we reach to this point that it mentioned the Holy Quran chapter Asra, the verse 70. It says that وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Quran address in this verse the children of Adam without any difference, without to mention any tribe, mention any religion, any dimensions, nothing, just the children of Adam. And Allah says وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا, we give them the dignity. So the human dignity is the principle that I want to mention it here as one of the principles that we have, that based on this principle we bring the moral issues. Okay, so the principle that here today I want to mention, we have some other principle as well, but just I want to mention one of the principle, and after that to go to the some points and the frameworks that I want to mention it for the ethics of the interaction. So when we talk about the human dignity, and it is what we accept it rationally, and we found it in Quran many centuries ago. It mentions that, and when Allah want to address the people, he says the dignity, bring the word dignity. So this is the time that we had the identity of the tribes. Even we had the identity of the Arab and non-Arabs. On that time we have the Quran and this verse that we give the dignity to all human beings. So through this we have lots of things. If we understand the dignity of the human being, so we know that after it or under it comes lots of issues. So I want to address you to chapter Mumtahana, verse 8. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. Here in this chapter, in this verse,
Allah says, when a group of people don't fight you, so if the group fight you, so that's something else. A Muslim fight to another Muslim. A dimension, okay, fight against another dimension. A party fight against a party, that's something else. But if it is not a case of fighting, so the way that you should interact with the followers of other religion is two things. And tabarruhum wa tuqsitu. One is to have justice toward them, tuqsitu. And the second one is tabarruhum, well behaving, good deeds. The word tabarru, bear, is the word that the Islamic teaching want to say that how you should act with your parents, with your mother and father, use this word, bear, birran lil walidain. And the verb for this word is tabarru. Tabarruhum means the high level of well behaving, high level of good deeds. Tabarru means not just the heart, but after the heart should bring in your action. I want to just put all these things through some of the actual topics. So let's first of all start by these by this hadith from the Holy Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him. It says, "Man qatala qatilan min ahli al-dimma lam yarah ra'ihat al-jannah." If a person just kill another person who is not Muslim, okay, that person doesn't smell even the smell of the heaven. Not go to heaven. No, more than this. Very far from the heaven. Look at this. Okay, you are Muslim. So it seems that because you are Muslim, you follow me as a prophet. So you go to the Jannah, you go to the heaven? No, at all. If you kill a person, even that person is not a Muslim. Look at this. So it comes back to the killing another person. Less than this. May I just stop and you want to? Don't want to? Okay. The second part is less than killing. Sometimes you may say, okay, that's killing. We know that killing other people, innocent people, is, as we say, is forbidden, is haram, is sinful. And okay, but what about the less? Yes, less than these. Holy Prophet said, "Man dalama mu'ahidan kuntu khasmahu." If a person, if a Muslim oppress a non-Muslim, I, as a prophet, I would be his enemy. That person is Muslim, but Holy Prophet would be enemy of that Muslim. So here, it just does not just refer to the killing. No, any kind of oppress. Man dalama, if oppress. Okay, so even less than this. So here, we have the insult, we have to, anything that could be called as a oppress. Okay, just.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. با تشکر از سرور ارجمند جناب آقای دکتر دریاباری، نکات خیلی خوبی رو فرمودند اینها. متاسفانه اون چند لحظه اول من تو جلسه نبودم اینا، ولی از اون موقعی که آمدم اون بخش رو ترجمه میکنم. آقای دکتر دریاباری فرمودند که در قرآن کریم احترام برای همه بشر از جانب خداوند قرار داده شده، که فرمودند ولقد کرمنا بنی آدم، خداوند نفرمودن مسلمان یا غیر مسلمان، بلکه کل انسان‌ها رو مورد خطاب قرار دادن. اینها و در اینجا کلمه کرمنا و دیگنیتی و تکریم کردن آمده. ایشون فرمودن که در زمان غیر جنگ احترام کردن، غیر از حالا مورد جنگ که ممکنه پیش بیاد اینها و اون بحث دفاع هست اینها، در غیر از اون در زمان صلح احترام و خوبی کردن به دیگران و دیگر پیروان دیگر ادیان رو ما بر اساس تعالیم قرآن داریم و در قرآن کریم از فعل جمع تبرو آمده، یعنی با آنها خوبی بکنی، خوبی در حد خوبی به پدر و مادر، یعنی خوبی بدون چشم داشت. و ایشون فرمودن که در حدیث نبوی آمده که اگر کسی با یک شخص از اهل کتاب، اگر کسی فردی از اهل کتاب رو بی دلیل بکشد، نه تنها به بهشت نمیره، بلکه حتی رایحه بهشت هم نمیتواند استشمام بکند، یعنی در واقع دوری از هر گونه رحمت و عنایتی. بعدشون میفرمان که بر اساس حدیث نبوی دیگر ما از حد کشتن هم پایین تر بیاییم، میبینیم که پیامبر به صراحت در حدیثی میفرمان که اگر کسی به یک شخص معاهدی از اهل کتاب، یعنی اگر غیر اهل کتابی با حکومت اسلامی وارد معاهده شد، در ضمن حکومت اسلامی داره زندگی میکنه یا اصلا طرف قرارداد حکومت اسلامی است، اگه کسی به او ظلم بکنه، من پیامبر دشمن او خواهم بود. و اینها نشان میداد که در تعالیم اسلامی چقدر احترام به پیروان سایر ادیان لحاظ شده و مورد تاکید قرار گرفته.
Thank you. Till now I just mentioned two expression. First, regarding the killing, and second, less than this, any kind of oppression or injustice. So that's the negative level of behaving others, okay? And as you saw that Holy Prophet of Islam said, here even I'm the enemy of that Muslim. It means that the criterion for to be friend with a person or to be enemy with the person comes back to justice or injustice. It's not comes back to whether that person is Muslims or Christian or non-Muslim, any kind of, okay? So that's very important. Also the criterion for entering the heaven. So what is the criterion for entering the heaven? Criterion is not to kill another one, not to kill innocent people. It's not just to be a Muslim, to follow just the prophet, it's not just the criterion to go to the heaven. So just I mentioned two expression for the negative level or for the actually ethic of interaction. Let me go and pass this part, negative level, to the positive level. In the positive level, we see the respect here towards the non-Muslims. Okay, so here we have the hadith narration from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Ya Ishaq, in jalasaka yahudiyun fa ahsin mujalasatah. Imam Sadiq says that O Ishaq, one of his companion, in jalasaka yahudiyun, if a Jewish person came to you, okay, فَأَحْسِن مُجَالِسَتَهُ, the way that you want to interact with this person, okay, should be the best one. أَحْسِن, the good way. You should choose the good one, the best one. فَأَحْسِن مُجَالِسَتَهُ. Or we have here another narration that mentioned that you should look at them as your brother. So in the narration from Imam Ali, فَجَلَسَ عَلِيٌّ وَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى الْيَهُودِي فَقَالَ يَا أَخَ الْيَهُودِي. Imam Ali visited a person who was Yahudi and address him with the word Ya Akhaliyadi, oh my brother Jew. So the word Jew, my Jewish brother, Ya Akhal Yahudi. So here we see some positive phrase that here we have in the ethic of interaction with followers of other religion.
Thank you. در صحبت‌های جناب آقای دکتر دریاباری این گونه اومده که در مورد ظلم کردن حداقلش این که پیامبر اسلام میفرمان به مسلمان ها میفرمان کسی به اهل کتابی ظلم بکنه من دشمن او خواهم بود. خب حالا در سطح مثبت احترام به غیر مسلمانان هم فراوان در روایات وجود داره. در حدیث از امام صادق علیه السلام به یکی از اصحابشون هست که میفهمن که اگر یه یهودی با تو برخورد داشت آمد پیش تو خواست بشینه با تو صحبت بکنه با او باید خوب و شایسته برخورد بکنی. و در احادیث دیگری آمده که شما باید اهل کتاب رو برادران خودتون بدونید که ما در اسلام داریم که مسلمان برادر ما هستن، ما در روایت داریم که اهل کتاب هم برادر ما هستن. و در موردی وجود داره که امیرالمومنین علیه السلام وقتی یه شخص یهودی پیششون آمده ایشون رو به عنوان یا اخو یهودی ای برادر یهودی مورد خطاب قرار دادن. همه اینها نشان میداد که پس این روی کرده تعامل و روی کرده در واقع همزیستی در بین ائمه معصومین علیه السلام نه تنها وجود داشته بلکه بقیه هم توصیه میکردن به این کار.
Okay. Till here, we understood some positive expression that the Ahlul Bayt use, and through this, advise us to how we should act with the followers of other religions. But sometimes a person may ask and says, okay, what you say may just comes back to the appearance positive aspect of behaving. Okay, just respect them. Say, for example, salam, good behave, something like this, okay? But here we see that more than this, more than the appearance, positive meaning or level, we have some other advices that comes back to your heart. For example, if you just check the hadith of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, he says that قيل لأبي عبد الله كيف أدعو لليهود ونصر قال تقول له بارك الله لك. You see, even the Imam Reza peace be upon him says that you should pray for a Nasrani, for a Christian, pray for the Yahudi, pray for the Jewish people. Okay, so it's not just say okay, that's a person who is my neighbor, who my colleague, so I say salam and something like this. No, pray for him. Say barakallah. Allah gives you barakah. Barakah means to increase your ni'mah, increase your favor. So pray for non-Muslim in order ask Allah to increase his favor or her favor. So when you come to the dua, to praying, it comes back to the level of heart. That's the appearance level aspect. Okay? Or another title that we have regarding the heart aspect, we have this narration that Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says to his one of his governor, to his one of the governor of his province, Ash'ir qalbaka rahma. You should use your heart with the mercy. Okay, with the mercy towards these people. So, this is the level of the heart. Ash'ir qalbaka, your heart. With what? With the mercy, with rahmah, with the mercy. Wal mahabbata lahum, and kindness towards them. Kindness, it's not just appearance, to be kind with them. Wal lutfa bihim, and to have something grace to them. Okay, so here in the positive aspect, we shouldn't stop to the appearance level. No, more than this, we should go to the heart. Check within ourselves that whether we pray for them or not, whether we have the mercy toward them or not, whether we're kind with them or not, that's important. The appearance is not important. It's not faith. Faith comes back to your heart. If you believe, so it's your heart, comes back to your heart.
عرض میشه خدمت شما که نکاتی که جناب آقای دکتر دریاباری میفرماد حقیقتش بسیار شوربرانگیز و شعف آور هست. از این نکات خوبی که میفرماد، چون میفرماد که این رفتاری که ما با اهل کتاب داریم، با دیگران داریم، پیروان سایر ادیان داریم، نباید فقط صرفا یه رفتار ظاهری باشه، یه چیزی تظاهر و تصنعی باشه، بلکه این با دقیقا توی در قلب ما باشه. شما میفرمایید که احادیثی داریم که به ما میفرمایید که احترام قلبی داشته باشیم نسبت به پای پیروان سایر ادیان. موردی از امام رضا علیه السلام نقل کردن که از حضرت سوال شد که ما چگونه با یهودی با یه یهودی برخورد کنیم. حالا یهودی میشه تعمیم داد به اهل کتاب، چگونه میشه برخورد بکنیم؟ مثلا فرمودن که وقتی اونها رو میبینیم بشیم بگیم بارک الله فیک، براش دعا بکنید، براش دعا بکنید تا خداوند به شما هم برکت بدهد. بعد آقا فرمودن که قلبت رو پر از محبت به دیگران بکن و نسبت به غیر مسلمانان با محبت برخورد بکن و با اونا مهربان باش و با اونها لطف داشته باش. و این اون چیزهایی است که ما از نص روایات و اخبار به دست میاریم.
Okay. Till here we just talked about the level of the heart and the importance of heart here. And you should accept it with your heart, all this that we mentioned. But do we have more than this? Do we have more than this? Yes, we have. Because when you talk about the heart, we have the minimum level of your heart and the maximum. Sometimes you are not enemy in your heart with another person. You don't hate that person. And you say, okay, I accept you, okay? But sometimes you are friend with another person. Friendship is something else. High level of liking another person, of loving another person, okay? Many people you are okay with them. No problem, okay? Heartily, I accept them. Heartily, I accept them. I pray for them. I pray for many people. Many, many people. But I'm not a friend with all the people. But sometimes we have the order in Islam to be friend with these people. It means that your heart should be in the level of friendship with that person. The emotion that you have toward these people, it should be in the high level. So, look at this. The narration from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Rahimallahu abdan ajtarra mawaddatan nas ila nafsi. May Allah bless a person who interact or observe the friendship of others, of these peoples who are not Muslim. Okay? اجترم مودت الناس الى نفسه. So when you are a friend with that person and you want to attract their friendship, what do you do when you are friend with a person? So continue. Imam Sadiq continues and saying, حَدِّثُوهُمْ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ وَاسْتُرُوا عَنْهُمْ مَا يُنْكِرُونَ. So if you are a friend of another person, you talk about something that person accepted and liked it. وَاسْتُرُوا عَنْهُمْ مَا يُنْكِرُونَ. And you hide something that he doesn't like or she doesn't like. You don't talk about something that, when you talk about these things, that, oh, I don't like these things. When you act with your friends, what do you act? You talk about something that he does, he dislike? No. You talk about something that he or she likes it. Because that person is your friend. So Imam Sadiq continue and
let us know and show us the way of this friendship. Should talk about something that he liked or she liked. And don't talk about something that she or he does not like. That's the important things. That's what we act as a friend. So friendship can come here.
با تشکر هست آقای دکتر دریاباری در ادامه سوالات هم آیا بیشتر از حد احترام آیا بیشتر از حد احترام قلبی هم داریم؟ بعد فهمیدن که احترام قلبی حداقل و حد اکثر هم داره، گاهی صرفا اختلاف نداریم اما نه، و حسب روایاتی که وجود داره ما باید به اونها هم علاقه داشته باشیم هم علاقه رو به اونها نشان بدیم، یعنی اونها هم حس بکنن که ما بهشون هم توجه داریم هم بهشون در عمل علاقه رو نشون میدیم، براشون به صراحت دعا بکنیم. اسلام دستور میدهد که ما با اهل کتاب بایستی تعامل عاطفی داشته باشیم. امام صادق علیه السلام میفرمایند که خداوند مورد رحمت قرار بدهد اون کسی را که در واقع احترام عمیق و محبت عمیق به مردم رو در قلب خودش جای میده و آنگونه با مردم برخورد میکنه، که در اینجا در این روایت در واقع غیر مسلمان ها منظور هستن. و حضرت میفرمان که در با اونها در مورد اون چیزهایی صحبت بکنید که اونها قبول دارن و شما میشنوند و مورد پذیرشون هست، اما موارد اختلافی به اونها چیزی که اونها قبول نمی‌کنن در اون موارد با اونها صحبت نکنید، که این همه در رابطه با ادامه دوستی و مودت است که جلب توجه اهل کتاب رو خواهد کرد.
Even here we have a very good narration that sometimes says okay, when you became friends and you interact with them, so maybe that person give you a gift or you give him a gift, something like this. Many things happens here. So here we have a very beautiful narration that says regarding the non-Muslim, the way of the friendship that he mentioned under the friendship with non-Muslim, it mentions that, let me just bring the exact hadith. Yes. From Imam Kazim, peace be upon him, he says, Ya Hisham, Qawlullah, Hal Jazawul Ihsan ila al-Islam, Jarat bil mu'min wal kafir, Warbillu al-Fajim, Man suni'a ilayhi ma'arufun, Fa'alayhi an yukafi'a bih. Any person just did with you with a good things, a present, a gift, something, anything, Fa'alayhi an yukafi'a bih. That person, I'm as a Muslim, I should make it up with that non-Muslim, the gift that is. But to make it up is just give him another just present, the same as he just gave me? No. Imam Kazim says, no. وَلَيْسَتَ الْمُكَافُوا أَن تَصْنَعَ كَمَا صَنَعَ حَتَّى تَرَى فَضَلَكَ. The way of making it up is not just to give it the same level that person actually acted with you, give you the present. No, the way of making it up is to give it more. Hatta fadlaka, hatta tara fadlaka. In the level that person, that non-Muslim, see that you gave him more. I just give example, the gift or the present, anything. حَتَّى تَرَى فَضْلَكَ فَإِنْ سَنَعْتَ كَمَا سَنَعَ فَلَهُ الْفَضْلُ بِالْإِبْتِدَى. But if you, Imam Kazim says, peace be upon him, if you give him the same, for example, gift and present, so that person is better than you. Why? Because he started his grace as the first one. So if you are the same, give same gift, same level of the gift, that person is better. Because why? Because he started. But a person, if he started to give a gift to you, so you should give him better, okay, or more. So that's let me come to a conclusion, because we have lots of the phrases and topics that we can discuss under it through the ethics of interaction with the followers of the other religion. But let me reach to the result. As a result, I want to say that the comprehensive concepts that we have here, or the framework that Islam's offer here, is brotherhood. The narrations that I mentioned, Imam Ali said, Ya Akhal Yahud, or Jewish brother. Okay? So here we have this narration from Imam Ali that completes it and says that Dima'uhum ka dima'una wa amwaluhum ka amwaluna. Their blood, the blood of non-Muslims, is our blood. Dima'uhum, their blood. Wa amwaluhum ka amwaluna. Their property, their money, their house, everything that they have is like our property. Wa amwaluhum ka amwaluna. So we can say here the framework or the comprehensive concept that we have here, whether it is the uqubba or the high level of uqubba, high level of the brotherhood, which is the unity. Their blood is our blood, their property is our property. The unity or the high level of the brotherhood. So, and Imam Ali says this point when he is the governor in an Islamic area, not when the Muslim is the minority. Sometimes we have some advice when we are minorities, said, okay, we should could do these good things, well behaving, they are your brother, act like them, because we are the minority. No, Imam Ali says all these things when the Muslims in that area is or are the Muslims are the majority, and the non-Muslim are the minority. Even they are the minority, and the Imam Ali is the governor, the caliph, says that dima'uhum ka dima'una, their blood is our blood. So this idea and the framework, the comprehensive concepts that Imam Ali bring it, is the brotherhood or the unity. Thank you very much.
در قسمت آخر فرمایشات جناب آقای دکتر دریاباری عرض میشه خدمت شما که شما میفرمایید که روایت داریم که اگر کسی بر شما یه کار خوبی رو انجام دادن، یعنی هدیه یا آوردی اهل کتاب، شما بایستی بهتر از اون رو بهش بدید تا فضل خودتون رو، برتری خودتون رو در رفتار نشان بدهید. در روایت از امام کاظم علیه السلام از آن میفهمید که اگر شخصی بر شما از اهل کتاب هدیه یا آورد و شما همون جور همون هدیه در همون حد رو بهش برگردوندی، چون کار مهمی نکردی، باز فضل برمیگرده به اون که او ابتدا کرده به این کار. بنابراین شما به عنوان مسلمان شما باید بهتر شد در واقع برگردانید که در واقع رفتار خوب خودتون نشون بدید. بعد ایشون در نتیجه گیری فرمودن که یه برادری و اخوت ما داریم که نکته همین جنبندی هاست که ما با اهل کتاب میتوانیم و باید به این حد از رفتار برسیم. بعد ایشون اشاره میفرمان به حدیث امیرالمومنین علیه السلام که فرمان که حضرت امیر علیه السلام زمانی که حاکم بر جهان اسلام بودن، در دوره حاکمیتشون فرمان دماؤهم که دماؤنا و اموالهم که اموالنا، خون اونها مثل خون ماست، اموالشون هم مانند اموال ما حرمت داره، احترام داره. بنابراین بالاترین حد برادری حد اتحاد با اونهاست، در واقع اونها رو جزء خودمان بدانیم. و این صحبت مربوط به زمانی نیست که مسلمان ها در اقلیت بودن و از روی اقلیت بودن این صحبت گفته شده، بلکه امیرالمومنین علیه السلام حاکم بر جهان اسلام آن روز بودن. خیلی متشکر.
پروفسور.
Yes.
Could I just say something, just 15 seconds only. First of all, I thank Professor Dirabari for his very illuminating speech. You know, it's always good to learn new things. Just two points. First of all, I think that both our presentations have complemented each other in many ways. We have mentioned qualities that I have mentioned in the Bible, and you have mentioned with regards to the Quran and the Hadith of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Secondly, just to clarify a point. Yes, I did speak about interreligious dialogue, but this is because I believe that dialogue presupposes interaction and it strengthens interaction. No interaction, no dialogue, no dialogue, no interaction. Just to clarify the point. So when I speak of dialogue, it's not necessarily what you are speaking, but what you are living. Thank you.
Welcome. ایشون میفرمایند که حرفای ما مکمل حرفای همدیگه است. میفرمایند که من بر اساس انجیل و تعالیم مسیحیت صحبت کردم، شما بر اساس قرآن و روایاتتون و مخصوصا احادیث امام صادق علیه السلام صحبت کردید. میفرمایند که دیالوگ مستلزم تعامله. بدون تعامل دیالوگی نخواهد بود و بالعکس، برمار این در واقع دیالوگ و تعامل بایستی زیربنای این رفتار اولیه باشه.
Thank you very much. Exactly, because you just talked about the dialogue, I said, okay, so I do not need to talk about the dialogue as a base for the interaction. So I said, okay, now I go to the second point. Okay, thank you very much. Exactly, these two things, I mean, dialogue and the interaction is something that we need to come together to have dialogue to reach to the interaction, or to have interaction in the to reach to the dialogue. These two things should be with each other. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have any question? دیالان اگه سوالی دارن بفرمایید. اگه از شرکت کنندگان سوالی دارن، دانشجوانه سوالی دارن بفرمایید. Also on the European side, in case there comes any question, all questions are welcome to be posed here. آقای منتظر مطرح کردن؟ آقای خانم منتظر، بس که زارن سوالی مطرح شد از اون طرف. بله، اگه میخواید ببینید که چی نوشتن. من که از اینجا نمی‌بینم چی نوشتن. بله. آقای منتظر نوشتن که sorry I wanted to ask my question but it wasn't possible so I wrote it. First I wanted to say that everything that was said so far was something that had to happen. We said we should be like this, we should be like Jesus. We should be kind, we should be tolerant. I think we should find practical ways for these orders. Practical. آقای منتظر بریم. آقای فرمان که بله. Practical and applicable ways according to the contemporary world. And let's not forget that we need organized organizational structures and the role of government as well as religion for this issue. Now I would like to ask you in your opinion, the followers of which religion are more tolerant with the followers of other religions in the world today?
Both
of them.
I think that it's not a question of who's more or who is less. In both the Bible and in the Quran, we have sufficient and more than sufficient instruction with regards to tolerance. But then, of course, it depends on the individual. There are some who exercise it, and there are some who don't. But the basic teachings are there. So it's a question of whether you practice it or not. But that, of course, depends on the individual in question. If one wants to follow the Quran, fine. If one wants to follow the teachings of the Bible on tolerance, fine. But then, after all, it depends on the individual, the way one acts. So it's not the religion per se. Whether it's more tolerant or not, because both teach it. It's obedience to that.
The next question is that if we acquire dialect, so why did not acquire up to now? I mean, if we want to have dialect, why this dialect hasn't taken shape so far?
Excuse me, I don't understand the question, because dialogue has always been there. I mean, it's not a question of dialogue being something that has become now in place. It has always been there. It has been there right from the beginning. If you take, for example, even the... let me give you a few examples. When the Prophet was in Medina, and there was the delegation from Najran, it is said that Muhammad had, in fact, met them in his own home, and he allowed them to worship in the courtyard of his own home. So, I mean, this type of dialogue has always been in place there. And even one must not forget a dialogue on various levels, even with regards to collaboration between Christians and Muslims and Jews, for example, in the translation of great texts from Greek into Arabic. And for there were Muslim teachers who taught Christian philosophers and Christian philosophers who taught Muslims. So, I mean, dialogue is not something that began. This idea that it is something recent, I think we must avoid it. Certainly, there were conflicts, yes, but that is only human. But it does not mean that dialogue did not take place. It is not something new at all.
Thank you. Let me put what you've already said into Persian for our Iranian audience.
Please.
ایشون در مورد سوال اول فرمودن که گفتگو باید بین اشخاص باشد، خود ادیان که نمیتوانند همینجوری با هم دیگه گفتگو بکنند. در مورد سوال دوم ایشون فرمودن که موارد فراوانی از این گفتگو و تعامل بین اسلام و مسیحیت وجود داشته، چون اشاره کردن به اون دوره بیت الحکمه در بغداد که آثار مهمی از آثار مسیحیان به زبان عربی ترجمه شده و این خود نشان میده که مسلمانان و مسیحیان با همدیگه داشتن در یک تعامل فرهنگی اسلام و مسیحیت در اون دوره با همدیگه همکاری میکردن که این مدت‌ها طول کشیده، یعنی این تعامل مقطعی نبوده بلکه این استمرار داشته. There's another question, doctor. Do you think that belief is a little hard to pass and go over? We live with our beliefs, so we cannot ignore them in dialect.
No, absolutely not. Quite the contrary. As I said, when we speak about our beliefs, we must affirm them. It means deepening our convictions, showing our convictions, but on the other hand, being also ready to listen to the other. No, it's not the question of arriving at a halfway compromise between the two. Quite the contrary. I mean, I am affirming my own faith and deepening my own faith when I am presenting it in dialogue. But on the other hand, I am ready also to listen to the other and to appreciate the good teachings and the good works that come out from the religion of the other. It goes both ways.
بله، ایشون میفرمان که این مثل دو تا در واقع مقوله جداگانه است. یکی اینکه ما ایمان خودمون رو حفظ بکنیم، ثانی اینکه ما وقتی داریم صحبت میکنیم خودمون از ایمان خودمون دفاع میکنیم، حرف خودمون رو میزنیم و در عین حال تعامل با طرف مقابل داریم. ما اونو مجبور نمیکنیم حرف ما رو بپذیره، ما داریم در یه گفتگوی مسالمت‌آمیز با شخص صحبت میکنیم. اینا ما فقط حرف خودمون رو با استدلال داریم میگیم، بیان میکنیم و به حرف اون هم احترام میگذاریم. Thank you. از سمت دانشجو و اساتید که سوال دارم بفرمایید. On the Italian side, in case there are any questions or there might be any student or professor who might wish to pose a couple of questions, that are most welcome. نه، سوال دیگه نیست. تمومش بکنید.
Dr. Joseph Ilal, thank you very much for your contribution. Actually, I personally have learned many things from your speeches, from your illuminating lecture, and we hope to meet you in person here in Qom in the near future. Thank you.
Allow me to say one thing. This is, I mean, I have been in Qom.
Okay.
There twice. Back in 2016, I was invited there. And here I also wish to say that I have very, very happy memories of my stay in Qom back in 2016. And I wish to greet also, I was told that this conference was under the auspices of Baqir al-Ulum University. Yes, there is a professor in the Faculty of Philosophy whom I truly respect as a very, very good friend of mine, Professor Mahmoud Mousavi.
Yes.
He was my tutor in Qom during one of the sessions that I was taking during my course there. And I have very, very pleasant and friendly memories of him. I am very grateful to him. I am very grateful to Qom. And I, too, am very willing to see you in person.
Thank you. ایشون فرمودن که قبلا هم قوم اومدن در سال 2016 قوم آمدن و از دانشگاه باقرالعلوم خاطرات خوبی دارن، مخصوصا از گروه فلسفه و از همکار عزیز ما جناب آقای دکتر سید محمود موسوی که گفتن که برخورد خیلی خوب و دوستانه با ایشون داشتن و امیدوارن که باز هم قوم بیان. Thank you very much and thank you for your contribution and thank you for all the audience on both Iranian and the Italian side. Thank you.
Thank you very much.